Welcome to a new episode of the Saltwater Euphoria Podcast. This is your go-to sport fishing podcast, where we will cover all things from fishing, boats, tackle, and anything else saltwater related.
Well done, gentlemen.
Every day is an adventure on the water. We'll be sharing our experiences, stories, tips, and passion for fishing.
Gonna need a bigger boat.
Oh, think bigger, my friend. Think bigger.
Here is your host, Captain Ricky Wheeler.
Hey, everyone, and thank you for listening to Saltwater Euphoria Podcast. This is episode 39. I'm excited to bring this one to you. Just wanted to put in a little reminder. You can check out our website, saltwatereuphoria.com. And on there, we have a job board. I've been really trying hard to make sure I get people on there who are very serious about trying to get into the world of sport fishing as a mate or even moving up the ladder from mate to captain. So if you are a captain or an owner looking for a mate, definitely check it out, saltwatereuphoria.com. Click on job board, and on there you can see a picture of each applicant as well as their cover letter and also their resume. So it's a good place to go look. I'm trying to add more people on there as much as I can. And if you are an aspiring mate or a mate looking for work, please reach out to us. You can reach out to us by emailing podcast@saltwatereuphoria.com or just reach out to us any way you possibly can, whether it be social media or anything else of that sort. So again, if you're looking to get your resume out there and have more people see it, definitely check it out. Also on saltwatereuphoria.com, I also have courses. And I have a couple different courses, from boat moving, dredge fishing 101, to a wahoo fishing course that is very in-depth and detailed, and also a mid-Atlantic tuna fishing course, which, you know, everybody back in the mid-Atlantic has got to be looking forward to tuna season. And, you know, I have a bunch of tips and tricks in there of how we target tunas aboard Euphoria and how I've been doing it throughout my career. And so if you're looking for a little help or just some new tips and tricks and you're new to the game, definitely check out the tuna fishing course. You won't regret it. Currently, I'm still in the Dominican Republic, and our time here is winding down. We'll be headed out for the Bahamas here soon, but not before we get a few more days in. We just had a really fun week of fishing with some great people and had pretty good action every day. It was consistent 2 to 5 bites every day. It was nothing stellar, but definitely good enough fishing with also some meat fish in the mix from wahoos, mahi, and blackfin tunas. So definitely ate good all week. That was pretty awesome. Haven't had much bycatch here up until this week, so always good to get some fresh eats. Another thing I wanted to put out there is a lot of people, from people that have fished with me in the past to friends and also just people messaging me on Instagram, have reached out to me about who to fish with when they go certain places abroad. And while I can always recommend somebody, a really good way to find charters that are available for the area that you're going to is use fishingbooker.com. Fishingbooker.com is the largest offer of local, vetted, and licensed guides pretty much across the entire U.S. and worldwide. Like here in the Dominican Republic, they have a great fishery here, and it's nearly year-round, and there are some great charter boats here, and you can also find them on Fishing Booker, as with anywhere you might be traveling. So I highly recommend using fishingbooker.com to help you find the right captain and the right crew for your trip, or even if you're just doing backwater fishing or flats fishing. They have guides on there, and they have all kinds of ways on there that you can check in and see who might be the best option through their reviews and also some Meet the Captain videos. So use fishingbooker.com next time you're trying to book your trip. If you're going abroad and you don't know who to fish with, or if you're going anywhere throughout the United States and are just looking for a great charter boat or a great guide to go fishing with, check out fishingbooker.com. I'll also put it in the show notes. There's a link in there, and it'll take you right to fishingbooker.com and help you find the right guide for you. So on episode 39 here in this podcast, I circle back to Steph and Cole. They are a couple who have been traveling basically the world, and I met them in the Bahamas, and Cole and Steph are huge free divers, and Cole also comes from a charter fishing background, and they have been basically traveling the world and spearing fish everywhere they go, and also rod and reel fishing every chance they can throughout their travels. And when we last spoke to them, it was in episode 14, and we talked to them about their jaunt through the Bahamas and what they had planned coming up. And from there, they were going to go through Panama and then make their way through for there for a year and make their way to the South Pacific. So They actually sped up their timeline, and they are currently in the South Pacific. Had an insane crossing, and it's something I talked to them about in this episode, and I really have a lot of respect for what they do, because they are out there living their dreams, and it's pretty amazing. And it's really cool to circle back and talk to them about all that they've been through from when I met them, and we did our episode 14 podcast, mostly talking about Steph's pole skier world record Wahoo that she shot in the Bahamas. But from there, they have done some really amazing things, and we jump into all that in this episode. So I reintroduce to you Cole Harrison and Stephanie Schultz. Hey, hey.
Hey, hello. What's happening?
How you both doing?
We're great.
Awesome.
Living it up.
Yeah, picture you were sending me. It looks gorgeous there.
Yeah, I just took that photo right as I sent it. Look at this. It's pretty silly.
That's insane.
That's... Yeah.
Yeah, so this is they call it the Bay of Virgins. It's one of the most beautiful anchorages from like cruising magazines and everything.
So how is life in paradise? How have things been?
It's great. We Steph went home, and I had a lot of boat maintenance in Nuka Hiva, so that was a good place to do that. And then yeah. I tried to have everything ready when she got back, and we got it all done, and now we're moving south. Storm season's almost over, so we're
let's start there. How's the boat been treating you guys? You guys have been doing
amazing.
A ton of traveling.
No, amazing. Like we were talking about it. I was never felt like connected to my, like it's a boat. It's just a physical thing. And then after the crossing, I was like, okay, now I'm really feeling attached to my boat, because that was one hell of a crossing, and she did an incredible job. And just with Cole, the boat's in the best shape of her life. She's doing awesome. She's protecting us. We're about to take our next round around French Polynesia, so back down into Motus, and we're living it up. We're loving it here. We're not in any hurry to leave.
Yeah, I bet. I've been following you pretty closely, keeping up with what's been going on. But tell me what you guys have been doing the past couple weeks.
How's your season been? How was your season in Bahamas?
Bahamas, I only went through for like a week and a half, and it was, you know how Bahamas can be in the winter. It was just windy, blew 30 like every day, and fishing wasn't that great. Wahoo fishing was not what it normally is. Until we got down to Hogstye Reef, and then it was epic, of course, because it always is. But we put in a couple hours there, just me and my crew, and got to the DR, and been here since February. So really getting into the peak part of our season here now. So been an okay March, good enough to go every day, some marlin every day, but nothing spectacular. So looking forward to table.
You're in the Dominican Republic.
Yep.
Yeah, we got some YouTube friends down there. Cole and Emily are, I don't know.
Yeah, right now?
Yeah, they could possibly. I don't know, but we'll give you that information afterwards. Cole and Emily cruise, the adventure cruise.
Definitely a few places they could be. The DR is pretty big.
Yeah.
Sure. Anyway, well, since I got both of you, what do you guys want to, where do you want to start? Like, what do you both want to talk about? Like, I feel like talking about the crossing together.
Yeah, I think that's a good one. Last time we talked, I can't remember, like, we may have been in Panama getting ready, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think the podcast, we were about to leave Bahamas, the last podcast.
Okay.
But everything went pretty smooth to Panama, right? That wasn't too bad of a crossing. It was rough, but.
No, that was a great one.
Yeah. Caribbean Sea was nice to us.
Yeah. It can be a gnarly one, but we had spinnaker weather, so we had our light sail up, and it was very, very gentle. We only had one run in with, there was about 20 to 30 local fishermen on Morant Keys.
Off Jamaica.
Where's that at?
It's like the southernmost Jamaica, like outer islands, basically. And it was just us and like 30 of them were like, we're not taking anchor here. So we anchored somewhere else, and
sunset, and it's just like this big white shiny catamaran, and we were going to anchor right off the beach there, and they have,
and we just started seeing bodies, and we're like, whoa, they got us outnumbered way too much.
It was too big of a carrot to dangle in front of them in case they wanted to come get some new fishing gear.
So
that was the only real part wild thing that happened on our Caribbean crossing. And then San Blas was incredible, treated us really well. We arrived with some good weather, amazing diving and fishing. It was pretty wild. They have giant cobia fish farms out there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that we sailed past. And then
Oh,
we
what is that exactly? I don't even know anything about this. Explain that.
the cobia fish farm. So
Yeah.
we didn't dive them or anything, but they just have these huge
Like pens.
pens for
Really?
agricultural cobia farms. And
Huh.
we sailed on the inside of them. I think we had a double wahoo strike. I don't think we landed them, but it's pretty wild. San Blas is like the Bahamas of Central America.
Huh.
Comparable. They have beautiful sandy, kind of
Definitely.
amazing diving, clear water. So that was surprised me big time. And then we got ready for the Pacific. We hauled out because we knew there was no haul outs on the Pacific side. And we thought we were going to spend 1 year in Central America. But I credit my friend Tyrion. He was working on in the boatyard, same as us, an Australian guy with a similar boat. And our boats probably never going to be as good a shape as they are now. So we're like, let's
It.
go.
But what did you have to do as far as paperwork? Like you got done, did everything in the boat yard, which there's always a lot of prep when it comes to doing any crossing, let alone a Pacific crossing. Can't even imagine, but
That was part of the reason too, because to get we wanted a residency visa. So to do that, you have to visit a French embassy in person.
and there's one in Panama, but
There's
then.
only one in Panama and the United States.
Okay, wow. I didn't know
So you have to go in person and you have to leave your passport there.
that.
So we're like, well, we
For
might as
how
well go do
long?
this now.
Till they give it back to you. I think it took 3 weeks for us.
Wow. That's a long time to have no passport and wonder if you still have one.
So what, I flew to Panama City? Did I fly or drive? No, I drove, I think.
We drove together.
Another time for the passport. Oh yeah, our dogs took our rental car and we had left the car on without the parking brake, and somehow the dogs managed to drive the car, put it in forward,
No, reverse.
no, reverse first, back, T-bone a taxi cab, and then put
No.
it in forward and proceeded to drive the car into the camera store while we're trying to get our passport photo taken that we got wrong 3 times because it wasn't the right dimensions.
Oh my God. And
Thankfully
So
they didn't drive through the window. They hit the concrete pillar. Had to pay the taxi cab guy off, and then we had to rent another car, an identical car, and then we dropped them in opposite places. So we dropped it off in David and the other car in Panama.
no way.
Just unnecessary drama, but lots of paperwork to get through the canal,
Especially with the dog.
lots of paperwork to get to French Polynesia,
I
lots of
didn't think
prep.
about that. Yeah, with pups, it's got to be even more paperwork.
They're rabies-free country, so they're quite extensive. And the cool thing now is we actually have the vets that checked Finn and Zeke in. They're a crew right now, and they're neutering about
I think like 20 cats today.
20 cats today, 20
Really?
animals today.
To go
Yeah.
to save a species of bird that's going to extinct here.
There's a bird that only lives here,
Sorry.
and there's wasps flying around, and Steph's scared of them.
I have my fly swatter.
I was getting ready to say, okay, so how bad are the
The bugs aren't bad. They're just randomly will show up on the deck once every so often.
Okay.
Sometimes they'll be like a termite swarm, but there's these wasps that fly off the cliffs, and I think they catch the bees and want to make like little clay things. So we'll find those later.
So how'd that conversation go with the taxi driver? When sorry, my dog T-boned you.
Well, first of all, he wanted a lot more money, and we're like, nah, this is all I got. I was like, $300 for a door, that's all I got.
I mean, they
And
saw a lot of some people saw what happened, so they saw that we weren't in the
we gave
car.
him our phone number too, and we're like, we're getting our car repaired, and it's way worse, and it's cheaper than what you're trying to say. So like, you're wrong, dude. We texted him. We were in contact, but I'm like, no, I'm not gonna give you any more money. It was an act. And then we had a great time. We did a lot of fishing and diving in Bay of Chiriquí,
Okay.
small West Coast.
by David area, and we had a friend there.
Yeah, his name's Daniel. I went to Panama for the first time probably like 7 or 8 years ago, and he was our captain to take us spear fishing. And he had never really like seen a girl dive or spear fish or anything. And I landed some pretty epic fish, and we became really good friends. So I had dove with him like 3 or 4 times, just trips to Panama. And so we linked up with him, and he became kind of like our local family there. Like, took us to the grocery store. He would have his son stay on our boat while we would go out diving so that pirates wouldn't come and
Oh,
steal
that's
our
cool.
stuff.
Yeah, nice to
Yeah.
meet
And we had a center console, tuna tubes, and we would go fishing, top water. It was put us on the spots. It was cool. We found a shipwreck, a sailboat
you.
wreck.
Oh, no way. Just happenstance, or did he know where it was? Oh,
No,
wow.
happenstance. Yeah. And so that was awesome on the west coast of Panama. It made everything so much easier because we had a truck, we had multiple boats, we had him, we had his family, we had a washing machine. So,
And yeah, we didn't want to go to Las Perlas because there was pirates. Two people had been robbed. One of the people we actually met got robbed at gunpoint in Las Perlas, and they took
oh,
the
no
whole
way.
boat.
Oh, they just destroy the boat. They
Yeah.
just tear it apart.
Wow, that sucks. Yeah,
Yeah, so
you
Panama's
hear
no
about this
joke.
stuff, but I mean, I've luckily haven't had any issues, but I'm sure more time spent on the water, especially at anchor, something's bound to happen.
You know, Panama's awesome, but it's just one of those things like you do have, that's a very real risk that you're taking.
Yeah.
And it's a risk those people are willing to
And
take
they're real.
for all the goods that they could get off of a boat that's prepped to cross an
Yeah.
ocean in the world.
Yeah.
Like, you're there and have everything,
Yeah. And like you said,
including
so
cash.
after all that, I was like, all right, time to get out of here. But sounds like you made the most of it though. Like, what did you end up shooting? What did you end up catching when you were there? Like, what were the main species that you were into?
Lots of snapper. We caught an African pompano. We caught some yellowfin tuna. We were actually there. The season was off last year, as it was a lot of
Everywhere.
places around the world. It was really hot. The rains hadn't come, but we got really clear water, which was unusual. So the Pacific side was just very, very clear, which was very enjoyable for us. We got some groupers, snappers.
We had a blast.
Yeah, it was
Nothing like trophy or to like.
big mahi. We released about a 50-pound mahi.
Oh, that was
Yeah,
cool.
lots of big mahi just everywhere in the bay. You think it's like 120 feet, 150 feet, and it'll just be like a giant mahi right next to the river. It's
That's
like
pretty wild.
it is lots of big mahi there. That was definitely happened just about every week, a big
Yeah, a
mahi.
lot of mahi.
And then
Yeah.
we were getting ready to leave, and our batteries weren't charging.
Oh,
And
no way.
we were in David, and thankfully there was Victor and his son Victor, and they helped got us a new battery charger, remote battery charger for our generator. It wasn't charging our batteries for a while, so we were low. But thankfully we caught that when we did right before he left. Like, we were trying to leave and this issue happened. So
That would have been a nightmare.
thank God it happened there and
Yeah.
not after we left and checked out. We would have been in
Big
really bad
trouble.
shape. So
What kind of
we
batteries
picked
are
up.
you using on the catamaran there? What are you using?
We have 6 lithium batteries, and we actually, I believe, just got picked up by Battleborne Batteries.
Yeah,
So
okay.
shout out.
Nice.
They hooked us up with some batteries that we're going to attempt to import into Tahiti. So that's going to be a whole nother experience there.
I've heard good things. Definitely heard good things.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
They reach out to you, or are you trying to work with them?
We have some friends that work through them. They did a complete refit. Spirit Animal, they're a really cool YouTuber, young couple that Steph is really close with and I'm friends with now. And yeah, he just refitted a Beneteau, like a 50-foot Beneteau, and they're going around the world as well. So they're probably
Oh, cool.
2 years behind us, but on their way.
You gonna link up with them at
And
some point? Is that the plan?
yeah, It's a good possibility, especially if we stay here for 2 full years. That puts them
Yeah.
right in. Like we could be here and they could be sailing in. We had a really rough Pacific crossing. Some people that are arriving now, there was like calm, gentle, like took a long time, more time consuming than like rough seas, but we got clobbered
Man, let's
on the
talk
way to
about that
there.
because I saw your posts as you guys were crossing, like between you and Steph, and it sounded very loud. Like
Yeah,
waves
we got
crashing on a boat, wind, craziness.
so after we got the batteries sorted and the charger sorted, we left and we're sailing to the we'd be the southwest part of Panama, Jacarta, and we blew out the clew of our main sail, so the corner, so we lost the biggest portion of our sail. We had to fly a reef, so that was the first of the problems. And then the wind was pretty much in our face, probably like 40 to 50 degrees. So we had a motor and we were planning to refuel in Galapagos, and we broke the tiller arm, so the aluminum arm that goes to the rudder bar, so
Right.
it comes there. Thankfully, because of Starlink, I was able to talk to my family and my dad, and he came up with a genius idea of using vice grips. So I used vice grips and I put it hard onto the rudder bar, clamped it
Okay.
around, and I hose clamped the rudder arm to the vice grips, and it kept it closed, and the teeth kept the grip, and it was able to turn. So I was able to, Jimmy something up and get to Galapagos, where they were very kind, and even on Father's Day they took on our rudder arms to weld
Oh,
out of
wow.
aluminum, and we stayed for 6 days. Like, incredible people. We had an incredible experience in Galapagos,
I'll say, what
and
was it like trying, like, what'd you have to do to be able to stop there? I'm assuming the
well,
amount of people in.
we weren't planning on stopping there, but some people end up do having to stop there because emergency stops, which we actually had. So
Okay.
we had to stop and do a repair. And I'll tell you what, that actually streamlined the whole process a lot more than if you're planning to go there. You're gonna have to jump through a lot more hoops
I bet.
to get into the country and do everything beforehand. But as we came on our as an emergency stop, we got checked in and everything, and normally all the tourists there have to be like escorted around by a tour guide. You're not allowed to like tour the island by yourself.
Okay.
So our friend Steb there was our tour guide because he speaks he looked the part, so we just got along fine. And, we didn't do anything crazy, but we just swam with the seals and
That's pretty
got to
cool.
see some volcanoes, have some food, have a dinner, laundry. Reprovision, have their scorpion fish. They have a really good fishery there too. I think it's striped marlin. They
Yeah,
have
it's
an
really
incredible
excellent.
marlin fishery.
I've always wanted to go there for that reason.
And
Galapagos
then
marlin fishing. Supposed to be
we
very
lost.
good.
Worth it. Totally worth it. One crew
Yeah.
member had to go home because of work, and that was last minute, unexpected. And then we had to keep going, the four of us. And we stayed a little bit north because there was a big south swell, and we just kept building and building and building. And our last day, it was the roughest day, day 21, from Galapagos, was blowing 40 knots and had 20-foot
I
waves,
mean,
and we were just
2 weeks, it was pretty consistently 30 plus knots and over 10-foot seas.
and the
For 2 weeks.
last 4 days were just like, it was big. It was big.
Wow.
And the whole boat's just creaking, and you're just like, you're going. We got up to 15 knots. Over 10 knots, you can start to feel the rudders give a
Dragon.
little vibrate. They give a little. So you know when you're going over 10 knots, the boat, you can hear it.
It's just
That's
uncomfortable because you
wild.
have the big Pacific swell and then the wind. You have surface chop on top of the big Pacific swell. So there's like 3 to 5 foot chop on top of these 10 foot rollers, and it's just
We sailed all the way in, fully reefed with our mainsail only. Only one sail fully reefed. So the
Man.
most minimal sail. And then we were able to stop and regroup at an island, lick our wounds, and then we ended up checking in and meeting the veterinarians. And
Nice.
it was great. The dogs got checked in like that day and they were able to walk around. So that was a huge concern. That was like our biggest worry, was that the dogs wouldn't be able to get offshore because they weren't allowed to get off in Galapagos.
Oh
So
wow.
they've been
Okay.
cooped up on board for a long time. So we're
Wow.
like,
I would say so. How from Panama to Galapagos is how many days?
eight.
Seven. I think it was
How
7 days,
many
and then we
miles
spent
is
about
that?
7 days, 1,000.
Thousand. And then,
Definitely not a straight line.
yeah. About
Yeah,
from
we did a
Galapagos
thousand
across.
was 21 days.
And how many
And
miles?
that.
Oh, it was like 30,000 miles. I'm sure we
No,
did easy.
3,000. 3,200.
All right, yeah, 3,000. Excuse me.
3,200.
A very
3,200.
large
No, we took
number.
a long way around. We took a long way around. No, I think around 3,200. I think total it was about 4,000.
Okay.
Yeah.
Man, that's a lot of miles traveled.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
So
good. People are
you
just
got
starting
there,
to
you
show
got
up.
squared away, and then what have you been doing since? I know you guys have been doing a lot of island hopping, even doing a lot. So fill me in because it's hard to keep up because there's so much going on.
Yeah, so there's four sections. So you have the Society Islands in that's kind of the lagoon area, and then you have the Marquesas where we are currently now, and then you also have the Australes all the way down to the south.
Okay.
And so we've been exploring the Marquesas and the Tuamotus, and the Tuamotus are very famous for their wildlife and this incredible sea life, lagoons, mantas.
They're completely different. So the Marquesas are what you saw, those big cliffs and mountains and greenery, and the water is more like the Pacific side, like that darker blue green, nutrient rich, with severe drop-offs, like extreme drop-offs right off the shore. And then the Tuamotus are a bunch of atolls. So they're like sandy shell atolls
Okay.
with deep water in the middle, and then these pinnacles that come up, these bommies that come up to the surface, all inside the atoll. And the passes are like similar to the Bahamas, but they just rip
Yeah, they
the
have
current.
natural channels, so they have you have to time the tide right because the tides can get up to like eight knots outgoing, and like the
What?
waves will stack up. But if it's against the wind, forget about it. Like you'll have to just sit and wait. Yeah, and they can be really tiny, like the one we're about to go to, or they could
Okay.
be wider, and then they really push a lot of water.
Okay.
And then we're basically diving these outside channels, and that's where you're going to see all the crazy type of tuna and wahoo and sharks, and just crazy coral. It is beautiful, just nutrient rich, just from that ebb and flow. There's so much moving water.
Let's talk about that ecosystem there because I feel like it's, at least to me and many people, because I've never been on that side of the world, it seems far more untapped than anything I could ever imagine until you actually see it. Is that like truly what it is? Like you get there and see it for the first time, you're just like, is this real life or just out of a movie?
Very, very much so. It's like the Bahamas times 100. Like the
Yeah.
colors of the reefs and the quality and the health of the reefs and the number of fish. Like there's a uku, it's the job fish in Hawaii. We have a bunch of job fish here, but we were diving and there were thousands upon thousands of job fish that were eating out of our hands. Like these animals haven't seen humans
Yeah.
ever.
So in like the springtime, when it's spring here, it's opposite seasons. But yeah, the fish will just like take turns in the passes spawning. And so one time there'll be long nose emperor, there'll be full long nose emperor, and then next week they'll be gone and it'll be a different species.
That's
And you'll be like,
crazy.
wow, these guys are just like on a time. Like we actually got to see the job fish spawning and putting the sperm in the water, sperm and eggs in the water. And I've never seen large fish like that actually going through their reproduction, which is pretty special.
Yeah, and then you'll
That's
just
pretty
have
wild.
whales swimming by and whales and mantas, they're all swimming by while you're hunting for dogtooth tuna and wahoo. And you're right next to this massive coral reef that's every color. And you can see 150 foot of visibility. Like it's hard to describe it. You can't really put it in words.
It's beautiful here because you can see on the AIS chart actually. So there's circles around it where the commercial guys are allowed to fish, and because it's French governed, they have the French Navy there, so they actually do get a control who comes in and harvests fish. So a lot of these other smaller islands that probably don't have the power to control who comes in and whatnot, but you find these French countries that have incredible marine environments because they actually do protect it, and there are rules. There's a lobster season here where there's a no take, so no lobster right now.
Okay.
It's an amazing way of life. They don't have a ton, but like the food and stuff they're eating, the veggies, everything's just from the ground here in the Marquesas. And then you go to Tuamotu, and then all you have is coconut and fish. So it's very dramatic. So we're loading up on veggies now. Like we have a sack of grapefruit, probably
How
like
far apart are they?
500 miles.
Okay. All right.
So like
So,
a 3 to 5 day sail, depending on wind direction.
yeah. So
right.
we might go tomorrow.
I'm glad I caught
Yeah.
you then, just in time.
Yeah.
We could have done it under sail. It's
Yeah,
probably
sure. That's
better.
pretty
So,
cool. Like the fact that
it's
you guys crossed the Pacific and were able to post pretty much daily was pretty
Yeah,
impressive.
Starlink's been incredible. Like, it's actually worse in anchorages here in the Marquesas, I think, because of the mountains around us. But when we're sailing and in the Tuamotus, we
Yeah,
have
going in a straight line is pretty crispy.
pretty good.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Really amazing.
Tell them about your marlin day.
Oh.
We've been trying not to catch marlin, and we've caught so far.
So we got we the end of the beginning of storm season, we try to stay as long as possible, and we were like the only boat in some of these iconic places because everyone runs from to the Marquesas because it's cyclone safe. There's no storms here, so this is where all the boats are, and now everyone's starting to move south. But we were like one of the last ones to leave after a big storm, and around that time, the marlin were just insane. Like we got five marlin bites in 50 miles, and I thought I'm
Understand.
laying under sail. I think I have the lines in, and a rod goes off. It was skipping 3 feet behind the boat, off the transom of our boat, dangling
No
out of
way.
water, and a marlin is jumping in front of our boat with it, the lure in its mouth. I'm like, are you kidding me? That was after like the fourth one, and I was just
It was just the two of us. We're
was the
under
first time
sail.
that ever happened. I'm like,
We
this
don't have
is
anybody to feed. Like there's
I
we're
was gonna
like
say,
trying
how do you
not to
manage
catch
that?
them.
How do you even manage it? What do you do?
So terminal tackle, I'm running not big leaders, so I can break it off if I need to. Probably
Yeah,
like
smart.
150, 200 pound test that I think I could pull,
Yeah.
or hooks that aren't gonna be stuck for good,
Something
like smaller hooks that I could hopefully
can
bend out or
open up.
something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah.
exactly.
But yeah, just try to save the lures for when I think there's not going to be a marlin around. If I'm scared, I'll troll peanuts.
What
But
kind of
they
lures are
say,
you using? Like, I'm assuming you're trying to catch, obviously, you're under sail, you're trying to catch tunas or whatever you can
tuna and
do.
wahoo is
Yeah.
mahi is what I'm after. So I keep it simple. I use a lot of feathers.
Huh.
I just love feathers. I'll troll one of those, and then I'll generally try to troll like a Rapala or a lip plug, something just to cover two different, hopefully catch a wahoo, or if I don't catch a wahoo, maybe the tuna or the mahi will catch it in the back. That's a pretty good way of fishing right there. If you really need a bite, sometimes I put the Rapala on mono and just try to entice a bite, and hopefully it doesn't get cut. On the Pacific crossing, it was cool. We would use the flying fish, and I was actually rigging those. I got a video I'm going to come out with on how to rig
Oh,
flying
nice.
fish, and it's very similar to Ballyhoo except without the beak. And we caught some good wahoo on the mono trolling those, hoping for a tuna.
I was extreme fishing on the crossing.
Yeah, we lost probably 150 to 200 pound tuna right at the boat. My
All under sail, all with like hectic waves and wind, and it's just
so
I think
yeah,
my
it's kind of
200.
difficult for that to end well.
Yeah. Well, they were right there, and I'm asking them, like, you guys want me to gaff this thing? What do you want me to do with it? I was almost ready to bust it off, and then the knot just exploded to the snap swivel 200-pound fisherman's knot with the melted tip. The knot just.
You have to run a release clip up the mast so you can pull a flying fish from real high, like a green stick. Do like a whole
Yeah,
green stick setup.
exactly.
Put a bandit reel on the back
Oh.
of that thing. It'll be good to
So
go.
I actually just bought a I just bought a rod and reel in Miami. I just bought a Tiagra 130
There you go. Get
bent
the winch
butt.
out.
So yeah, so I added that to the arsenal. Fish are a little different out here, so
Yeah, no doubt. No
there's
doubt.
sometimes where you're scared to put the lure out. It's too much. Like, no, I don't want a marlin today. So you'll keep them in the boat.
The fishery here is absolutely insane.
Insane. And there's a lot of ciguatera risk here too, so there's not
Oh,
much
really?
pressure. Yeah, there's so ciguatera actually was first recorded in French Polynesia and the Gambier's Islands. I think it was the guys from that did the Galapagos, Darwin, on Darwin's boat. They recorded the ciguatera, toxic fish. So you have to be careful about where you're harvesting fish from and kind of go off of the locals and past and previous knowledge, and also be careful of not eating too large a fish.
Explain what ciguatera poison is because I'm still actually starting to wonder if I
So
explain
it's
it properly, but you guys probably know everything about it. So please explain to the listeners what exactly ciguatera is.
well, no one truly knows everything about ciguatera because there's not really a way to test and see if a fish has it, but I believe it's a neurotoxin that actually can build up levels in your system. So I'm sure we probably have a certain level of ciguatera poisoning as is, but we haven't had like a really toxic fish. We'll put you over the level, and
That's when you get sent up.
you'll drop weight, vomit out the other end. Like, you'll just feel terrible, tingling sensation. Like, cold water will burn, and hot water will feel cold. Like, it's really
People die from
nasty.
it.
It's
People
really
think that.
nasty stuff. So you have to be extremely cautious. Most sailboat people don't even eat lagoon fish or fish off the islands. They'll only stick to the pelagics
Okay.
if they really want to play it safe. I spend so much time out here. I like to think I know some of the safest fish to eat. So if I'm in a new place, I'll try to take the less risky. You can take the small surgeon fish, plankton eaters, things like that. So non-predatory fish that are not preying on other fish. And then obviously not try to take the larger fish. So we're seeing some of the biggest fish I've ever seen in my life. And we're just leaving them, like giant dog tooth tuna to like 80 kilos, almost 200 pounds, and like
What do they taste like?
20
Do
feet,
they, are they
20.
taste just like a tuna or more like a mackerel? Like, what do they taste like?
It's kind of like a hybrid between wahoo and yellowfin tuna. It's pink.
Wow.
So the shoulder will actually be white meat. And then as you go to the tail, it'll become like pinker.
Delicious.
Really?
So delicious. Yeah.
So the middle part of the fish is my favorite. It has like a white and pink, and it has the wahoo rings and tuna rings, like yellowfin tuna.
Right.
Really good sashimi. You want to wait one day. Don't If you eat it same day, it's a little bit chewy. But if you let it rest for 1 to 3 days, it's like some of the best sashimi you can have. Some fish aren't as tasty. They're not all tasty. Not all doggies taste the same, but we
Really?
experience
Huh.
that. I kind of with all fish, I guess. They're not all the
And
fat content, I guess, in their environment, or
well,
they're
what goals did you guys have in mind? Like, you knew you were gonna go there. That was always the plan. Like when we did the last podcast, you were planning on being in Panama longer, as you already mentioned, but you knew you were going to basically the French Polynesian Islands and anywhere around it could. What are your goals there? Like, because I know, Steph, you had a couple goals in mind, especially in Panama. You were trying to do pole spear records or tuna. But this part became a little more important and it just worked out better. So what are your guys' goals while you're there, other than just really love it and enjoy it and live life to the fullest every day?
Well, yeah, I wasn't able to do my yellowfin tuna on pole spear because the season was off, and we were ended up wanting to cross. So my new goal right now personally is to get a doggy on Polesphere. So I'd really
All right.
love to land a dog tooth on Polesphere. That's my kind of spearfishing goal.
That is pretty epic.
Yeah, it'd be very epic. It hasn't been done by a woman yet, so
No
it'll be
way.
the first. Yeah.
All right.
My goal, I'd say, is just to keep this boat going and in good shape
The
and maintain.
tall
Steph
order.
actually, yeah, Steph just launched a new business yesterday, so that's a huge accomplishment, a goal checked off. I mean, it's just
Yeah.
getting started, so I mean,
Nice.
it's gonna be fun to see it
Yeah.
bloom, but you can tell
Congrats.
more.
That's
It's
awesome.
called, yeah, thank you. It's called the Creators Co. It's an affiliate marketing business with mentorship. So anybody who wants to take their business and put it online or learn how to make money online, we help you get that set up. And it's just absolutely exploding. Like that whole digital marketing, affiliate marketing space is just it's just growing to right. It's already a multi-billion dollar business and it's projected to just grow and grow and grow. So getting in on kind of the ground floor of it, and it's thanks to Starlink, I can launch a business in the middle of the Pacific. So that's been
It
pretty
is pretty
awesome.
cool.
Yeah, they were do most people do influencer marketing, so they would pay influencers like to post. And at the end of the day, maybe the influencers don't have the same audience that you do, and so you're paying for nothing. And
Yeah.
affiliate marketing is really only paying when that person's making you sales. So for any business owner, it there's zero overhead, and it's just found revenue that you wouldn't have otherwise. And there's some strategy to getting the online presence and setting up automation, but we've gotten it down to help people within a couple hours. They're up and running and rolling.
That's cool.
Yeah, so it's been fun, but
You
I've been
enjoy
working
it?
way too much. Yeah, I thrive on it because that was my background was corporate. So to build something, I was able to grow it. Well, we might grow it to six figures in our first month with the last one we launched. So
That's
it's pretty
awesome.
exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She really loves helping people, so this is like
The best of
a
every
huge
world possible.
mentorship. So there's five of the founders, and they all have their specialties, and they are helping everyone get going. And yeah,
That's really
it's gonna be
cool.
cool.
Nice.
But I need to spearfish more, so it's good that that's launched because now I'll have time to go diving more.
We've been going out every day. This is gonna be like day six, go diving for Wahoo. So we wait for the sunset. That's kind of our go-to. We'll wait till sunset and we'll dive till the sun's
Down.
under the water, and then we'll
All
come
right.
in and
How's
have
it
fish
been?
get all.
You guys been able to shoot some Wahoos lately, or?
Yeah, we our new crew member just got his first Wahoo on my triple C spear gun.
Nice. I did
Yeah,
see
so
that. I did see that.
he got his first Wahoo, and I got a nice like 20 kilo, probably 50 to 60 pound Wahoo,
All
which
right.
was really, really awesome. Yeah, we've been seeing them every day, so that's been fun. You don't get them every day, but we've been seeing them every day, so it definitely helps. There's fads here, and then there's also pinnacles that you can jump in on. So you
Okay.
kind of, we've
How
been
high do
using our
pinnacles
big
come
boat.
up? Like how much is the structure there?
The one we've been diving comes up to like, I think it's 115 at the shallowest
Okay.
point, and then it drops straight down to
Yeah, we found it. We found it on the
100.
big boat sounder. We found it on the wall. We're just like, what? As
Yeah,
we're leaving. So we've been so anxious to come back here and
it's produced.
yeah.
Actually, when we were pulling into this anchorage, we stopped to Cole was gonna fish it, and so he was digging
Gonna
at
chop a
first,
jig.
because he had caught in a doggy on a different area, and all of a sudden our friends were like, "Hey, I think that's a wahoo," and there was just a wahoo at the surface under our boat.
Swimming under the boat, we saw it from the surface.
So then Cole was like trying to throw things at it, and he's like, "It's not gonna eat," so he just jumped in the water and shot it and got it on his spear gun.
Nice to
I
have
threw a
that
little. I threw a little lure twice. I'm like, it's not gonna eat this thing. And I was
option.
like, I just jumped in, no
He's just running around the boat, like
wetsuit.
digging and then switching out his gear and then throwing something else and then switching it out. He's like, "I'm getting in the water." And I drove the boat. It took all of, I don't know, two, he did one dive, shot it, and got in the boat. It's just fun. It's fun to see him consistently. Like we're seeing him consistently, and we actually have people to give the meat to. There's a bunch of locals here, a bunch of other boats here. So We're having a really good
The
time.
biggest wahoo on spear came from French Polynesia, and we're just coming into season now.
Yeah.
How
So
big is that?
they get them up to 70 kilos, so they're looking at like
Whoa.
130, 140 pound fish.
That's no
There's real
joke.
ones out here.
That's another goal of mine. I didn't really have it, but now a local, his name is Franchi. He owns the company Joints Spear Fishing, and they make these beautiful. Here, I'm gonna grab it real quickly. They make these beautiful hand carved spear guns.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's like a
Wow, that is
perfect
so
spear.
awesome.
And it's an inverted roller, so you have all these bands on the bottom. He reached out to us, to Cole, to partner with us and made this one for us. And so my new goal now is to get the woman's world record Wahoo on spear gun. Since I
All
have it on
right.
pole spear, I want to get it on spear gun now.
what's
On that
the
spear gun.
what's the standing record at the moment?
67 pounds
Okay.
for women, yeah, on spear gun.
Oh, you got
Very
that.
doable.
You got
Yeah.
that.
It'd be
Oh,
cool to
that's cool.
beat my pole spear one on gun, but we'll see.
Yeah, that thing is pretty good. How long has it taken to make that?
So he's using a CNC machine to actually get the shape, and then he has a local carver come in and do the detailing.
That's pretty cool. That's
Yeah,
really
well,
cool
he's an
detail.
Italian, so it's very precise. It's like a Ferrari with a Polynesian twist.
Yeah.
Well, you two are super comfortable in the water, but being there, just from what you're saying, like whales and manta rays, like just swimming by, you guys probably are super desensitized to like something just coming over top of your head coming by at this point, or are you still like, what's
Yeah.
that? Like.
It's funny you say that. Yeah, no, there's been a like a horse eye trevally or a horse eye jack that's been
Messing with Cole.
so on the spot it comes up and just like swims like right up between my legs and like right at me. I punched him in the face, so you scare me one time.
Cole just punching the face of this
Yeah.
fish, and I'm like, "What are you doing?" And he's like, "It scared me. I didn't know what
Natural
it
reaction. I
was."
didn't know what else to
Yeah,
do.
exactly. But we're pretty desensitized to
You got to keep your head on a swivel. You know, there's Makos and tiger sharks out here.
the
It's not
shot.
like the Tuamotus with like a bunch of reef sharks. There's
Yeah.
reef sharks, but then there's also there's Makos
And
and
white
tiger
tips.
sharks, white tips. What could swim in here? It's just open ocean and just straight cliffs with pinnacles. So it's
It is
the
different.
local stories you hear are pretty wild. Some of them don't dive anymore.
So, like the Marquesas have the big sharks, and then the Tuamotus just have the number of sharks. It's like the Bahamas times 10. So, you'll shoot
Oh,
a fish,
wow.
and if you don't have your divers down there keeping the sharks off, or you don't get a good shot on it within seconds, you just have the Sharknado happening. And it's like the number of sharks is next level. I've never seen this many sharks ever.
How do you work together as a team to like keep, like, if you are going to go harvest the fish, how do you work together to keep sharks away from the person who is going to take the shot? What do you do?
Three is best. Three is a very good number.
Okay.
Three
The
or
more people, the
four.
better. Four
Yeah.
people, if you can do that. And then it just has to be a really good shot. You can't mess around. Like, no bad shots. Well, tell people all the time, like, you want
Basically
to get the
stone
fish
them
in
and
the
get them out of
boat.
there quick.
Try to get it. If you can't get the stone shot, like get it like quartering through the gill. Like if you can get it through the gill, that helps a lot. But basically, one person shoots. The other person has the boat and flasher, and the third person, as soon as you hear the shot, is on the line, and somebody else is diving down to try to keep the sharks off. So, and then the person comes up to breathe, and then they take over the line, and then the other person keeps the sharks off. So it's just a lot of teamwork because the sharks will be interested, but if you can keep them off, you're fine. But the moment one of them takes one bite, then it's chaos.
Over.
It's game over. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the crazy thing is, it's not just the sharks you have to worry about because you shoot a doggy, and then a doggy three times the size of the one you shot comes in to try to
Tuna
attack the
will come in
doggy.
and try to eat your smaller tuna.
No
Yeah.
way. That's pretty
Especially
crazy.
at
Dog eat
sunset,
dog
we've seen
world.
like literally. And we're doing this at sunset. So a lot of times the sun has already set and it's you're like looking at shadows. And so all of this is happening with shadows and you're in the water with it's definitely an adrenaline rush. We're a bit insane, but we have to be very mindful too, because most of these places, medical help is far away. So everything
Absolutely.
we do is a calculated risk and we take precautions best we can.
Yeah.
Yeah, at any given time, you should be able to jump in the boat. The dinghy should be right there, and you could fight the fish from the boat, or just drop the fish if it's,
Yeah, at the end of the day, it's a fish.
yeah, we're just
Keep
swimming with the
going.
dinghy right next to us, so like someone's always on the dinghy. You always jump in the boat,
Yeah.
Well, what do you have on the
and
boat for first aid? Like for, because I mean, you guys are very remote majority of the
yeah.
time, and even
So
when you're not, I'm sure health facilities still aren't stellar in any. What do you have to be prepared for everything?
I have a ditch bag or just a waterproof bag with so first of all I have the Garmin inReach. I have a subscription to that that stays in the dinghy bag. VHF radio, flares. I have a Frontline trauma kit. I think he discontinued making those, but he actually used the he has like the Quick Clot, which is like this green powder that you can shove into a wound and stop the bleeding. We have
Tourniquet.
tourniquets. I have water on the boat. I have tools, extra spark plugs, extra pull cord for the
Right.
dinghy, pretty much any spare fuel line, whatnot, like that. So I'm just trying to think about what's going to break. And if something breaks and I can't fix it, how am I going to be seen if we're at night or how are we going to talk to someone? So
Yeah.
it's nice to have boats around. Generally, if there's another boat in the anchorage, we'll tell them we're out diving. And if we're not back, something's
All right.
probably
Something's
not
wrong.
right. And
How's communication between everybody at the anchorage? Is it pretty good, or some people keep themselves?
a lot of people will keep to themselves, but it's kind of like it is what you want it to be. If you want to jump on your dinghy and meet people when they're out and about, you can. If you want to keep to yourself, you just keep to yourself. But the people here have all crossed the Pacific Ocean, so we have that one big thing in common,
Yeah.
and there is that connection. So if you ever need something, there's always multiple people ready to help.
That's cool. Everybody just
Yeah,
monitors
we
16 too. Like, if you're trying to talk to the 16, still pretty global.
not as
It's so because of Starlink, it's actually not great because most people
Nah.
aren't on the radio now. They're mostly on like WhatsApp. So you can get
Yes.
messages now.
That's
So it's more private and you don't have to jam up the radio. But the problem with that is we're not really standing by on the radio.
yeah. Kind of have that problem even at home now. Everybody's got Starlink. Nobody talks on the radio anymore or works together that way. Everybody's just texting each other.
Yeah, no one wants to be heard by everyone.
Yeah.
So it's much it can be more efficient, but it's not reliable.
Well, have you been doing some
Yeah,
rod
I
and reel
still
fishing, Cole? Or have you been doing much rod and reel
rod
fishing
and reel.
or so diving?
When Steph was gone, I went out fishing by myself on the dinghy and caught a wahoo on the spinner trolling or Opala right outside like the main bay here in the Marquesas on a purple extreme Rapala diver and so that was super fun and we met up with a local that recognized pretty much my posts on Instagram. He's like, "Hey, I live here. If you ever want to go fishing, let's go." And he
That's
spoke
cool.
English and he took us out and we jumped in. Before we met him, we jumped in on a fad, a government fad. The government
What
will
are the
actually put the
government fads
buoys
like?
up.
Big buoy and what?
Big orange buoys in a straight line, and then I think they decorate them with some. This one was kind of old. I jumped in and I saw a whole school of yellowfin tuna, but little jelly beans, nothing crazy, small tuna. I was like, well, I can't spear one of those, but I knew I could catch it. So we spent about 30 minutes and I was dropping the vertical jig catching a few
Nice.
yellowfin tuna for poke. And then we went out and went fishing with him. And we caught a nice wahoo on a high speed big islander lure with
Okay.
the vents out it. They're trolling one of those,
Yes, yeah.
double hook rig. And then we caught some yellowfin tuna on the vertical jig. crazy enough, we were anchored in the bay, just kind of like we are now. And the tuna actually came rushing in, exploded on the bait in front of our sailboat by like 30 feet, and must have been like 30 feet underneath the boat, and then ran out. And the frigates are all going nuts. The tunas ran into the bay in 30 feet of water and then ran straight offshore. And that happened in like 15 minutes. They came in and left, and just big black backs just exploding in the anchorage. It's pretty special.
That's pretty cool. So that whole area, so you mentioned how Panama, you know, has pretty decent risk of pirates. Is there any risk of piracy throughout that region where you guys are? I know it's a big region you're covering, but any issues
Yeah,
there, you know of?
we feel very safe here. The locals are incredible.
Culturally, it's just completely different. Like the locals will give you bananas and papayas and all kinds of stuff, and you try to pay them or you
They
try to
don't
eat
want to be
them.
paid or anything like that. It's mostly trade barter
Yeah.
system here. So
Okay.
like, you know, when the local took us out fishing, I gave him brand new pair of Twista sunglasses because he didn't have any,
He wouldn't give
and
cash. Like he wouldn't
they
let
wouldn't let us
pay him.
pay for the fuel or anything like that. And
Wow.
he's like, dude, the lure. I gave him like the fancy Nomad lure.
Yeah.
Had an extra one. I was like, he's like, dude, this is so much more valuable than money.
Yeah.
Just the
Yeah.
sunglasses and the fishing gear. They're just like,
Just
it.
culturally, it's completely different. They're not hustling, they're not manipulating. They're not trying to get anything past you. There's no like negotiation of pricing. It's all very honest and fair and direct.
That's so
But
nice.
you're not worried. You're not worried that you're gonna lose something. So our situation in French Polynesia is with our temporary residency permit, we're allowed to legally stay for 2 years.
Okay.
However, after that, we would have to import the boat. So our plan is to max out our time here, and then we will be moving on because importing the boat would be pricey. Our biggest challenge here is the French language because neither one of us speaks French. So that is.
Yeah, it doesn't
That's
even
got to
come
be
off my
really
tongue.
difficult. That's language barrier is tough.
But next for us would be societies, cooks, Tonga.
It's probably going to be Tonga and Fiji. Unfortunately, we're probably going to have to pass on some places because of our dog Finn. Because for Fiji, they have to be in a rabies-free country for over 6 months.
Oh,
And they
wow.
don't have to be quarantined on land. They can quarantine on the boat. So right now, thankfully, we have the vets on board that are going to help map this out for us. And we're
Okay.
actually going to help them get a digital product out there to what through Steph's program to help them help sailors out with their pets.
There's
That's
15
cool.
boats. There's 15 boats here right now that cross from Panama or Central America. Two of them have the correct paperwork out of 15
For their dog.
for their dogs and cats. So they're here, they can't import their animals, and their animals can't get off the boat because they don't have the appropriate paperwork.
Okay.
So we're going to help them create a digital product to sell to cruisers getting ready to cross the Pacific, where they get a consultation call with them, and then they have all of the requirements. And then when they get over here, they'll get to meet them and they'll check them in. And this is a product they can sell over and over and over
Yeah, absolutely,
to help
forever.
make them money. And it helps the cruisers, and they're going to help us figure that out for Fiji. So it's a
Yeah.
win-win for everybody.
Hey,
bro,
what's up?
sorry. We got cut off because our Starlink went out. I think it was kind of like a global Starlink thing. I think some other people had issues too.
Okay.
And then it was Wahoo time. We ran out and we shot two Wahoo, and since then we had like 7 days straight of Wahoo. So
That's awesome.
it was, yeah, just seeing them every day is pretty. And we were tucked down the leeward side of the island, and it was only 2 miles away, so it was like just. We go out every evening, and then the last 2 days we went out midday. They were still there midday. Just, yeah,
Are you shooting
pretty.
all of them, or are you catching a few rod and reel?
We were spearfishing. It's much
Yeah.
harder to catch them, eh?
Yeah. What, so
So.
far everywhere you've been, like what would you say your favorite's been so far? You know, everywhere you've been on this boat that you two have been together, what would you say has
I
been the most
mean,
specific?
it's tough just because you fall in love with places. Like the last place you were, like it doesn't get much better than that. We had
Yeah, that
the
looked
boat
beautiful.
loaded down with fruit, Wahoo accessible like every evening. But the wind moves you along, so it's coming here to the Tuamotus is one of the most beautiful fishy places in the world. I was still kind of sad to leave where I was going, but then you get here and you get settled in, and you're like, okay, yeah, I remember. It's just it's tough. Steph said last night it's the life we chose, so you can't really fall in love with any place too
Yeah.
much because you got to go on to the next.
Got a
But
lot more
there's
on the
incredible
list.
places. It's all seasonal, it's all weather dependent. It's all about you could go there 1 week and have the worst time getting hammered by weather, or you could be there the week before and it could be the best condition. So it's all subjective.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely makes it hard, especially I had some friends down here fishing last month, and we had flat, calm weather, zero bites. I mean, if they would have come 2 weeks later, they would have saw flat, calm weather, lots of bites. So it's just, you go to certain places expecting certain things, and sometimes you don't hit it right. Like you said, you get bad weather, or fish aren't there, or all kinds of things. So.
Yeah, it's all subjective. It can and spots change. Like we dive spots the same time over and over again where we actually know the residential fish. Like there's resident fish of the reef, so we'll see these same fish and they'll have like a little scar or something like that. But spots aren't always as fishy as they were when you get there. Like the fish move. Like summertime, the fish are much deeper. Wintertime, it seems like the fish come up a little bit higher. The lagoon's hot now, so there's not much fish by the beach, but there are probably more fish in the deep lagoon. So you just kind of got to adjust, and I guess that's fishing to a T. You just got to keep adjusting with what's going on.
Adjust and adapt. No, man.
But
Well, thanks so much for the time. This has really been awesome, and it's cool to get to catch up with you here again.
yeah, it's turned into a really cool friendship. It's fun catching up. We're both chasing fish on different parts of the world.
Yep.
And yeah, it's cool to touch base. And thank you for having me. It was a pleasure. And Steph's washing laundry in a bucket, and the rest of the crew is doing mango and banana duty. We're freezing our produce. So
Nice.
nice to finally have a couple down days, and then we're gonna keep moving. We'll have a good downwind sail, which is always nice. 25 knots behind us, so we should move pretty
Oh, wow.
fast.
Yeah, that'll be a quick move.
Yeah,
How
but
fast you guys sail when you have that kind
when
of
we're
going?
when Sail of Ease happy, we'll go anywhere from 6 to 10 knots.
All
If we're
right.
really happy moving and like the wind's right, we'll easily cruise 8 to 9 knots. And
That's
that's
pretty
really
much
fun.
what I
We've
do when I boat move. So it's not much
yeah,
different.
so I'm covering we did 500 miles and we burnt 15 gallons of gas, gallons of diesel, I should say. Mostly just to keep we had to keep one engine on with the no wind when we started, but then the wind filled in. And then is mainly just to keep the battery charged. The Garmin units draw a lot of power a little bit
Right.
when you're under sail and all the lights are on and stuff, and then you're relying on the autopilot running off the battery, you want to keep that fully charged. But yeah, we did, I think we averaged over 6 knots and four days exactly for 500 miles. And I think our best day we averaged 165 miles.
Man, and you said you only burned
So
15 gallons?
yeah, so when you're doing crossings like that, we're just running one engine. Just keeping one engine on, and then
Oh,
you can kind
wow.
of alternate if you want. Or
Yeah.
the boat, it really works well with a catamaran because the boat always wants to turn into the wind. One engine kind of compensating for that, the boat really can go and keep the batteries happy. And
That's cool.
yeah.
Man, that's what I'm burning an hour at that speed.
Time for a cat, man. You can turn into a sailor.
Not there yet. I'm not there
Not
yet.
there yet.
They are
We'll
cool.
have to.
They're definitely awesome to live on and hang out on. They got a lot of room.
Yeah, we'll have to draw one up. Prototype sport fishing catamaran. It'd be sick. It hasn't
Yeah.
been done yet,
The traveling cat.
but
Traveling sport fishing cat.
all right on, man. Good catching up, and thank you for having me on the podcast again. It's always a
Yeah.
pleasure. And
Absolutely,
Good
man.
man.
Thanks for taking the time to be on here. All
Be
right,
well.
man.
Tight lines.
Thank you again, everyone, for listening to episode 39 of the Salt Euphoria podcast. This is usually where we jump into our top yacht segment, but honestly, we've been fishing daily here, so I have not had much time at all to be perusing through. So I've just been keeping up with my clients that I currently have, and two listings I also have, which is 35 Cabo and a 43 Viking. And if you're looking to buy or sell your yacht, please reach out to me. You can check in the show notes. You can email me to rickywheeler@unitedyacht.com. That is in the show notes, and I really do love doing it, and it's something that I look forward to getting better and better at, and also bringing you more top yachts here in the future. But it would be a mistake for me to do any top yacht segment in this podcast because I just haven't had the time to peruse through anything super exciting and new that's come to market. So I'll have to get that one to you in episode 40. Thanks again for listening here, and I can't wait to bring you episode 40. I'll talk to you then.
This was another episode of the Saltwater Euphoria Podcast. If you want to find out more about all the things that were mentioned on this episode, visit saltwatereuphoria.com/podcast. Hit like and subscribe for more big game sport fishing, conversations with other sport fishing enthusiasts, and personal stories from the life of Captain Ricky Wheeler. This is Saltwater Euphoria Podcast. Till next time.